Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for betting the Kentucky Derby is Monique Vague. You can follow her on Twitter at Parlay Queen. Monique, great to have you back on the show.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for having me. I was mentioning a little bit to you earlier that it feels like this is one of those yearly occurrences. I always look forward to catching up with you, and lots has changed, of course, on both of our ends, but it's exciting to be here to discuss the greatest 2 minutes of sports.
I enjoy it because you are incredible at what you do. And speaking of incredible, the world of sports continues to be on fire. And I'm pretty sure I've said this 3 weeks in a row, where we were blessed with the 3-overtime hockey game in the NHL playoffs between the Rangers and Penguins. My Penguins became victorious. We've got NBA playoffs all over the place. And of course, we have the run for the roses, the Kentucky Derby. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about 1, how to bet the Derby, ways to put our card together. 2, looks like we might have some stormy weather. How does that affect things? We'll look at the favorites. We'll look at the long shots and everything in between. So Monique, let's start with this. What does your betting card look like in terms of how you like to bet the Derby, the main race?
So the main race, I like to keep things pretty simple for the main race itself. My kind of play is I love all the multi-leg wagers. So the pick fives, pick sixes, pick fours, one of those where you can kind of hone in on different races. And hopefully the Derby allows you the luxury of going a little bit deeper, because in a field as big as this, with so many things that can happen, I think, of course, you need quite a few options. So I like to do that. And then for the Derby weekend as a whole, I always love those kind of niche bets. So I love player props and anything in and of that nature in general with sports. So for the Derby, you have the opportunity to bet the time of the mile, your time of the race as a whole, I should say. And then you have those opportunities for those head-to-head wagers. So which horse you think in similar type of odds will end up finishing better. So I love having those. Those become available around the Triple Crown Trail, and then they kind of stay around there. So those are those kind of once a year opportunities that I always look forward to taking advantage of.
So what I like about what you're saying is the betting market is maturing. And so often with the Derby, and certainly if we're doing this on a casual standpoint, a lot of people say, I'm just going to pick the winner, which can be extremely difficult because your horse comes in second, you lose, you're like, ah, this was a loss for me. But with the way the prop market works now we can start to do these head-to-heads. But mm-hmm. I'm curious about the time side of things. And this will actually transition us over to the weather, because it looks like this could be a wet one. There is rain in the forecast. Do you feel like there is value one way or another, knowing the way that bettors think, that we logically would be like, I think it's going to be a fast race, maybe not on this money track, but yeah, in general, we're always going to want to root for likely the under, which would be faster. Have you found one way or another there's value on it being faster versus slower?
It's tough. It's one of those races too, where the weather changes so quickly, obviously. And, you know, we've had some of those unfortunate weathers for derbies in the past couple of years. I can remember off the top of my head a few of those. And even just the Triple Crown as a whole, there's been a bunch of those races that unfortunately are hindered by some of the off tracks and sloppy tracks. So we're a little bit early out. So I'm going to kind of lean on the side of being optimistic and saying that I feel like it's probably not going to be that big of a factor. And also with the Derby in and of itself too, that even if it is raining, with how good these track crews are, the track is going to be sealed. The track is likely going to be fast, unless the rain is coming down so strong. And also there's so much time in between the races too, that there is ample time to get the track in as good a shape as they possibly can. So I'm not going to hold all that much weight to the weather as a whole, but then saying this is probably going to be thunderstorms and just the rain absolutely coming down. So I don't know. What do you think about it? Do you think it's going to be that big of a factor? What have you seen weather report wise?
So to give context, we are recording this at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. So Monique, here's one thing that I saw. 12 of the 20 horses in the Derby haven't raced on an off track, mm-hmm. which would likely create a little bit of uncertainty for us if there were going to be sloppier conditions, which I then said, is there some potential long shot value on How much does the track matter? Like, if things are pristine, all right, we think that the horses that have a greater pedigree, they might be a little bit more consistent, where if things are a little bit muddier, all right, well, are the horses that are coming out front where there's less mud in their face, well, they also have to have some endurance side of things. So for me, like you, I don't think we can answer this on Wednesday what it's going to be, because the odds are drastically going to change if it does, or it could. Yeah. And that's also one of the things for people that need to understand on betting the Derby or horse racing, that unlike locking in +3.5 in an NFL game where you got this, you're not going to lock in a number. So what should we be thinking about in terms of, if the weather changes or not, does the number matter? Or should we be just looking to say, let me look at the horses or the bet card that I want to put together? Let's throw the numbers sort of out on the side.
Well, you bring up a lot of good points too. The one thing that you brought up that I thought was so important was just that these horses haven't really raced over an off track before, and it can be so different. So I guess the best kind of advice and the best way to counter that would just be, you don't need to be an expert in terms of pedigrees. Most people can't really tell you all that much in terms of the sires, where these horses come from, but just a quick Google search in terms of horses, the sires that have a really good percentage, their offspring racing over the off tracks. I think oftentimes you really get what you pay for in terms of horses. So you can kind of, you can pretty much hazard a guess how well some horses can take to the off track, given if it is exactly that. So you can get a pretty good inkling in there, not having these horses having raced on there before. But as for the race itself, tracks like that tend to get really tiring. But then the question becomes, is it tiring for horses on the front end setting the pace, or is it tiring for everyone? It could be even more exhausting, as you mentioned, being really, really far back, getting all the mud kicked back in your face. That doesn't put you at any type of an advantage. So I guess more than anything, it's just kind of those horses that are close to the front end that I would definitely favor. But then it's the same thing for the Derby as a whole. You don't want to be too far back, because then you run the risk of the traffic trouble down the lane, and then of course being able to navigate that way, and then factor that in with all the mud if that's a potential in there.
All right, let's look at another factor, post position. So the number 5 gate has won the most times, 10. And right now, Smile Happy, which came out at 20-1, I love that name. And of note for this horse, finished second to our favorite Zandon in the Bluegrass at Keeneland. The number 10 gate has 9 victories, and that's where our favorite Zandon comes. 3-1, 2 wins, a second, and a third, and 4 starts. And that horse is considered a closer. And then lastly, the number 8 gate has 8 victories. We've got Charge It at 20-1. And you're seeing some wise guys liking that horse, and it's a Florida Derby runner up. What are your thoughts on post position, and how much does it matter?
Did you just give us your top 3 picks with those post position stats?
Put it this way. You could very easily put it together. If you say, I want to put together a formula for why I would take a horse. Well, if you just wanted to go with what are the pole positions that have won the most times, that's one way to chop this up.
You know what? The thing that's interesting about post positions, I feel like oftentimes people feel like the post positions are so important and they really will deter you from betting a horse in general. Personally, I don't hold all that much weight to it. It's never ideal to draw the inside or the outside. When it comes down to the Kentucky Derby, you can lose the race before the race has even really started, right from the break. If your horse doesn't get a good break from the gate, you have pretty much no shot, especially if you're a speed horse. So it doesn't matter where you are in the gate from that perspective. It's the type of trip that you're going to be working out. And of course, just the caliber and quality of horse. It's tough because, you know, we talk about horses belonging versus not, and then having proven themselves and everything. These are such young horses, some of them so lightly raced, that it's so difficult to kind of either overvalue one race or kind of judge too harshly off the other. So it's tough. For me, I'm mostly, if I love a horse, I'm not going to be deterred by post position. So I don't hold all that much weight to it personally, but it's something that you might want to factor in. Of course, those stats, you know, you never want to be on the inside, because when you think about it right away, the first turn comes so quickly, and all the horses, of course, are vying around the first turn, and you're trying to get towards the rail. So you run the risk of getting shuffled back, getting squeezed in, getting boxed in. There's just so many things to factor in.
So one thing to factor in this year is no Bob Baffert. We've got a 2-year suspension for Medina Spirit failing a drug test. And the second favorite in this race is Epicenter, coming in the three post at 7-2. There's now a first time Derby trainer taking advantage of this. And this horse has already won on a wet track. So what is the impact of Bob Baffert not being there?
I mean, Bob Baffert is everything in horse racing. That's the thing, is that he's just been synonymous with having the best horses of all time. And, you know, so much of it, it's, I guess, the Bill Belichick is the best kind of example that you can think of in terms of making a team, making their players, getting the best out of that. So it's tough. It's one of those things where, you know, being involved in horse racing, it's tough to kind of talk on it because it's such like a taboo subject, of course, under the investigation. No one wants to have to deal with a cheater. No other way of putting it. So it's tough. You know, we're always used to seeing Baffert's horses 1, 2, 3 in the Derby in terms of finishing that way too. And then it's a huge kind of thing in the equation, but there's so many other trainers that are just having, because of this, career years, just absolutely standing out and having that type of success. So yeah, definitely changes things as a whole. And it's an interesting kind of Derby. It's weird for me because I feel like I have a pretty good read on a couple of the horses in here, and kind of rewatching all the replays and everything. I feel like it's somewhat predictable, at least early on for me in terms of my handicapping. I haven't wavered all that much. So of course, Baffert, a huge factor in here. What do you think about the whole situation? I mean, it's a disaster for horse racing as a whole.
I think it is, because most people would be considered casual horse racing fans. So when you have someone who is the most notable in a position of authority, and all of a sudden, well, it immediately dings all of his credibility for everything that he had ever accomplished, because, oh, he cheated to win. So how do we not know? He just didn't cheat to do all of these things. It's almost the same way we think about Lance Armstrong. It's a similar fringe sport, someone who's been very good at what they do. And we just all don't feel the same way about Lance the way we did when he was crushing. And we probably don't feel the same way about Bob Baffert. That being said, it's almost like I then think about, well, if a horse that is now being trained for someone, how much Bob Baffert-ness is there? Or I know he's removed from this situation, but it would almost be like if Josh McDaniels took over for Belichick because he was suspended. I know that's not the world we live in right now. What sort of impact would that have, and would the Patriots still be good?
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a lot of good points too. And I mean, it's one of those things where, of course, it's going to be such a focal point of the Derby in and of itself. And it's tough. And I always kind of try to look on the other side, is that how difficult it is to get winners in horse racing as a trainer, and then how difficult it is to win the Derby. So it's nice that we're going to be able to see someone, hopefully someone that has never won the Derby before, winning it as a trainer, because you only get so many opportunities. You know, the Derby's only contested for those 3-year-olds. And you know, it's tough to compete when some of these horses are going for $3 million, $4 million. It's like, it's one of those things where, of course, you can get lucky with a cheap purchase and a horse that surpasses those expectations. But when there's so much money in the game and so many prominent owners, of course, the best trainers taking over those. And it's tough for like some of the little guys to actually make it. So it's always one of those things where, you know, from a fan perspective, I always try to root for those horses and those people I know are, you know, I feel like it would mean a lot more to them. Of course, I can't say that, but, you know, getting those opportunities, they're few and far between.
Of course, I was only able to add 2 horses to my stable last year, so I know what it's like to root for the underdog. I'm just kidding. So Monique, you said something that I want to double back on, where you're seeing things with your handicapping pretty correctly. So let's dive into that a little bit more. She won't hope so, but that's why we're talking to you. Share a little bit more insight and sort of what's your mind and what you're seeing.
So there's a lot of horses in here that I kind of feel like I can toss. For me, the Derby is all about kind of trying to find those horses that offer that value. And the thing with the Derby in and of itself is even the favorites, even backing the favorites, you're still going to be getting a pretty favorable price. I think the race goes through Zandon. I think he's going to be incredibly tough. Comes in off of a win in his most recent. Caught my eye last year in the Remsen, where he just battled Mo Donegal down the stretch. I thought he looked so great in that start. And then he had those excuses in the Risen Star. So bad break, the faster pace, didn't really cost him any type of a chance. But then to rebound in such a big way, I think he's going to be incredibly tough in this spot. I think Chad Brown is absolutely one of the best in the business in terms of getting some of these youngsters ready. I think the race goes through him. His racing style is going to be so conducive for racing in the Derby. He's going to be close, but not too close. And I just think he has every single type of those kind of intangibles and tangibles too, to be that absolute superstar standout. So I think he'll be, I think he'll be the favorite at post, but there are a bunch in here that'll take a lot of support, including at the center. I think, you know, had he drew a little bit better of a post, I think he would probably be the favorite in the morning line.
And the horse that is in the third for hockey fans, we've got Messier at the sixth post, 8-1. Anyone who watched ESPN last night saw Mark Messier on the desk with Chris Chelios. So in the event that you're looking to pick a horse that could have a chance at winning, hey, we've got one right there. So Is there a chance that you would be putting any money down on Zendon to win the Triple Crown?
I find the horses that are favorites going into the Derby, you never really get that type of a price I'd be looking for the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown is so tough in order to do, and we've been spoiled with having these horses recently that are either so close to getting it or are able to do it. But when you think about it, it's so difficult because you're racing different tracks, different distances. You have some of these horses that, you know, people will argue a horse that sits out the Derby, sits out the Preakness and gets to race in the Belmont, you know, they have a huge edge in terms of not being that tired and being able to sit out those taxing races like the Derby in and of itself. So I don't love those Triple Crown bets. I find that they're never high enough of a price that I would be willing to take, but yeah, who knows? If there's anyone I think that could do it, it would definitely be him. But yeah, Triple Crown, I think, is more of a gimmicky type of wager.
You talked about playing pick fours and picks five. So if you're going to be playing the favorite, how else are you going to be rolling this in to juice up the number?
So there's, I mean, it's interesting. Messier, you mentioned, is a horse that I think is really intriguing. We don't really know what to make out of him. So a lot of these horses in here, you kind of have a pretty good gauge of what they're capable of. He has been racing really well. He has that early speed, so that works to his advantage. And of course, can never go wrong with having John Velasquez on board, arguably the best jock of all time. So I think when you're kind of looking at horses that have that early speed, I would prefer him to Epicenter. But then it's difficult to kind of just figure him out and kind of place him as a whole. So he's someone that I wouldn't be willing to discount from that perspective. And then for prices, I think Cyberknife is a really interesting one. I think he's a decent post to work with. He's one of those kind of later bloomers that I think he's peaking at the right time. And he looked good in the Arkansas Derby, has that tactical speed too, which I think is really going to come in handy. And then another big price would be Charge It. Good post to work with, of course, Todd Pletcher. This one had a very, very tough trip in the most recent. Hit the starting gate, was really wide. Unfortunately, ended up drifting back inside, outside. It was just a tough trip. But to finish second, given the circumstance, I think he's one that can really improve off that. So those would be my two prices at huge odds. But then Zandon would be obviously the one that I'd be focused on more for those multi-legs.
Sign me up for Charge It, because I love the quote, success leaves breadcrumbs in here. So one thing saying wise guys like and Charge It, here you are saying wise guys like and Charge It. And for me, when I build my Derby card, I'm not just going for home runs. That sometimes I like the entertainment value of knowing that I've got a place or a show bet or some boxes in there to where I can roll some people. So Charge It will be in there for me with the favorite. And then with me being the happiest person in sports, Smile Happy is going to have to be on my card. It's just part of my DNA and my brand. So Monique, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect?
You can find me on Twitter at Parlay Queen. That would be the best way to find me. And again, thank you so much for having me, Rob. This is always so much fun and it's always great. Hopefully we're on the right side of some of these nice prices.
I hope so too. And I want to hear from you. What is your Derby card looking like? Give us one favorite. Give us one long shot. You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag @covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money. And the broken down the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.